Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 108 before our time in prayer this evening. Our topic is Valiant Christian Living. You know, this psalm has often been called by Bible expositors the Victor's Song, because it begins and it ends with God. I hope you spend your day that way. I hope that the first thing you do when you rise up is that you spend time. Get up early enough to spend time with the Lord. Then before you go to bed, say goodnight to the Lord and have a time in the Word and have a time in prayer. This is a great psalm. It's a psalm where we find victory in the midst of trouble. And perhaps some of you have had a tumultuous week, a time of trouble, adversity. Physically, you're bone tired. I better stop, or else some of you are going to get that way just through the power of suggestion. But some of you may be tired. You've had a rough week. Now, this psalm, incidentally, is found elsewhere in the book of Psalms. Verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 108 was quoted earlier by David in Psalm 57. And then you look at verses 5 through 12 of Psalm 108, and you can go back to Psalm 60 and find that he's re-quoting himself there. And that follows the philosophy that we've heard in times past, repeat and repeat. Even David, under inspiration of Scripture, repeated a message that he had for his people because he thought it was important. Well, sometimes a good sermon has to be repeated. I've often wondered how evangelists sometimes do it. Now, I'm not an evangelist, and I love evangelists, and I have friends that are evangelists, but sometimes an evangelist will just in his journeys, periodically, seasonally, there's that circle of messages that give and repeat it to the various churches. And I personally find that would be a little difficult to do. Somewhere along the line, you may lose your steam, and what would happen is that I'd start adding more and more and more, and a one-hour sermon would turn into a four-hour sermon, and they'd probably drum me out of the church. So that wouldn't be very good. But sometimes messages have to be repeated, and this here is a composite of two messages in Psalm 108. I had one preacher that told me that a sermon is like a good skillet that you like to use over and over again and add and make your inventions and add all of these things and use it over and over again to feed many people. But the message that I see in Psalm 108 is that the Christian life is indeed a warfare. And every child of God has to do battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. That dastardly trinity that we see. But you know, the wonderful part about it is that we are assured of ultimate victory. There was once a country farmer that was reading the book of Revelation. And I'm told that Dr. Joe Stoll ran into him and began sharing with him and asked him, "What do you like most about the book of Revelation?" As he was looking at Revelation, and he commented to Dr. Stoll, "Well, the main thing that I get out of the book of Revelation is that we won. We won." And you know, that is a good summary. And it's good to know when you read Psalm 108 that we can win. We can live the valiant Christian life. You know, it's a shame when you see Christians living the Christian life with an attitude of status quo, I'll just make it by. I'm just satisfied to know that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm just kind of not really going to try any new ventures. I'm not going to really seek the leadership of the Lord in some new challenging areas. I just want to stay in my little comfort zone. I want to kind of keep it between the lines and just plod along and be happy. Maybe sit somewhere in a huge church, and, you know, that way I'll never get hurt. And I'll just kind of always just be able to just cruise along in the Christian life. You know, that's sad, because the Lord wants us to live the valiant Christian life. He wants us to live a life on the cutting edge. being more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And He wants us to realize that until He calls us home, there are new worlds to conquer, people to reach, new adventures every day in the Christian life. You know, the Christian life ought to be an adventure. We ought to start the day saying, Lord, this is a new day. This is the day that You have made. Lord, I am ready to take on the challenges that You lay before me, relying on Your power and Your word. Lord, make me a blessing. I'm going to trust You to be a blessing. And Lord, may every life that I touch be different in a positive way because we've met and we've been able to have contact together. And this psalm here in Psalm 108 expresses the spiritual attitude that every warrior ought to have for the Lord. And we are warriors, folks. You know, we're warriors. We need to recognize, just like a police officer, when you strap on that weapon, when you put on that uniform, you're going to be a target. And we are a target for the devil. And the devil doesn't want us to live the valiant Christian life. And I want us to look at several things that every warrior ought to have in the Christian life. We're just going to look at four of them. We need to keep our minds on several things. Four specifically. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, the Lord wants us as warriors to have a fixed heart. A fixed heart. Notice what it says. O God, my heart is fixed. The Hebrew word kun has the idea of firm, fixed, established. I just think of the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see Him in the Psalms when you read the Psalms? I think of the example of the Lord when it says in Luke 9:51, it came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face towards Jerusalem. He knew the cup that He was to drink from. He knew the price that He was to suffer. And yet He steadfastly set His face. He fixed His eyes towards Jerusalem because He knew that there was a task to be done. Oh, may we follow the example of our Lord to steadfastly set our face towards doing the will and the work of God. There's no such thing, folks, as retirement in the Christian life. There's no such thing as I used to. You know, I'm a firm believer in the sovereignty of God and the Lord of the harvest concept. I believe that God, as we see in the book of Acts chapter 2, adds to His church daily. And He adds to His, certainly the corporate body of believers, which we call the universal church, yes, but He also providentially adds people to the local church. And each person that He adds to the local church is given unique spiritual gifts in order to use them in the work of the Lord. And we need to have our mind fixed. I think of the example of Paul. You remember when he met with the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20? And they were weeping and hugging each other, and he was committing them to God. And he gave his testimony in Acts 20 and verse 24. And he says, you know what? I've gone through sufferings and trials and testings, but none of these things moved me. Why is it? Because he was a warrior and he had his eyes fixed. You know, these women that go through the Lamaze childbirth, you know all about this focal point business, and Melody had a focal point that she brought into the room. We can use the analogy of a compass. You know, you fix that compass on north, and you know, when you know where north is, everything else will work out well, and you've got to fix your coordinates, you see. Well, we need to fix our hearts. My heart is fixed. Our exhortation is found in 1 Corinthians 15. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. You know, when your heart is fixed, look what follows. How many I wills do you see here? You know, it's a matter of determination, folks. It's a matter of the will that we will fix and set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And every day, there's a battle that must be fought. Are we going to put our minds on things celestial or things terrestrial? My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Were there days when he didn't feel like doing it? Yes. Is that being hypocritical? No. It's a matter of the will. And it says here, I'll give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. Why early? Because, you know, he wants to start his day with the Lord. So let's have that fixed heart. As warriors, we must be committed to the cause. David said, is there not a cause when he fought against Goliath? He was a man that was committed to a cause. Every soldier that's worth his salt, to the point of death, to the point of losing his life, to the point of torture, is committed to a cause and is committed to the fact of being loyal to his country. How much more should we who are citizens of hell, of heaven and have the help of the Lord? So we need a fixed heart. But then there's something else we need to keep our eyes on. We have a fervent helper. We're not in this alone. We have a fervent helper. Notice, we have a message to share with others that don't know the Lord. And notice, it says here in verses 3 through 6 that the Lord is our helper. It says here in verse 3, let's begin a little further back. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Do you see how that we have a life message to share with others that don't know the Lord? We have a commission. And we have a helper. The Lord said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end, you see, of the age. It says in verse 4, thy mercy is great above the heavens. We have the Lord's mercy as our help. Thy truth reaches unto the clouds. We have the truth of God's word as part of our armor. Notice, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. You know, we have a fervent helper. David looked to God as his helper. In these verses, will you look to God as your helper? But you know, there's something else that we need to have in verses 7 through 10. And that is a fearful holiness, a fearful holiness, a knowledge of fearful holiness. It says in verse 7, God hath spoken in his holiness. He's set apart. He's transcendent. He is wholly other. And he says here, I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of my head. Judah is my lawgiver. He's mentioning all of these locations that represent Canaan. And yes, the Lord is the giver of the promised land. And we know that fully the borders of the land of Canaan will truly be realized when the Lord establishes his kingdom. But notice in verses 9, he even mentions three principal enemies that surrounded Israel. It says here, Moab is my washpot. In other words, Moab, the Moabites, are going to be reduced to the place of servitude, just like a servant would bring out a washpot to wash people's feet. You know, God is able to conquer our enemies. Isn't it wonderful to know that the devil himself is a conquered, defeated foe? And we can claim that. It says, Edom, will I cast out my shoe? Just like the lord of a home would take his sandals and throw them to a servant to put them away. Even so, the enemies of the Lord are reduced to places of servitude as well. It says here regarding Edom, I'll cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? You know, there's a fourth thing I want us to look at that is ours, and that is this. We have a fighting host. We have a fighting host. We have a fixed heart, a fervent helper, a fearful holiness, and a fighting host. Isn't it wonderful that the angels of God are ministering spirits? Isn't it wonderful that we can be part of the Lord's army? Isn't it wonderful that our Lord is the Lord of hosts? Look at verse 11. Wilt not thou, O God, who has cast us off, wilt thou not, O God, go forth with our hosts? Oh, the children of Israel had suffered because of their sin, but God is a forgiving, merciful God who would now deliver them. And he says this, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. You know, through God's power, we need not just have victory to get by. We can do valiantly. And that's, look at verse 13. Through God we shall do valiantly. I remember at one of our previous churches, we had written that across the gymnasium of our basketball court. Through God we shall do valiantly. Well, this is a good scripture. This is where we get the message from for our title. But it is He that shall tread down our enemies. You know, when Martin Luther was about to enter the hall where he would be judged for his doctrines, he was stopped by an old knight. This knight had fought many valiant fights in the past. And the knight looked at Martin Luther and he made this comment, poor monk, thou art now going to make a nobler stand than I or any other captain have ever made in the bloodiest of battles. But if your cause is just and thou art sure of it, go forward in God's name and fear nothing, for your God shall not forsake you. Our cause is just. We have a Lord who has redeemed us and given us the victory. Let's have that fixed heart. Let's recognize that we have a fervent helper, even the Holy Spirit. We can have a knowledge of fearful holiness, recognizing that He is a God of justice, and He will take care of His enemies. And we have a fighting host to deliver us. Remember the words of Paul in Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors. There's valiance. You see, a valiant spirit. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the promises of Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that these two chapters from a previous psalm have been compiled by the Holy Spirit to remind us about the truth that, Lord, we can have victory over sin. We can have victory over depression, sin, discouragement, all of the fiery darts of the wicked one that are hurled at us with the shield of faith and the armor of God. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Lord, bless as we go to prayer now and as we would meditate upon these truths and apply them to people's hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, we pray. Amen.